This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tommy, Ocean Chinook or Puget Sound Coho, what is your palate favorite?
And you drop that kokanee on top of that barn door halibut's head, 67 feet of water, and he was not happy about that.
Well, I don't know. What do you think? Boxers or briefs?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go with a European cut speedo.
Fantastic. Excellent choice.
I love tuna. I do love tuna.
Heck yeah! Hey, you know, I have a buddy who refers to Canadian geese as flying carp. Obviously, he's not cooking them.
Right? He clearly.
Right? Oh, ocean chinook.
Seriously?
Hands down.
Really?
Hands down. I don't fish for coho.
Good point. Hey, speaking of grind, can you tell the difference between ground deer and ground elk? Honestly, taste the difference.
You know, Dwayne, we only get one chance to live this life. Mm-hmm. And you will always regret the things that you don't do. So you know what I tell people? Buy the damn boat.
Hey, you know, the facts are, some days are just a grind. Welcome to Fish Hunt Northwest, the number one fishing and hunting talk show throughout the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Now here's your host, Dwayne England, and of course, the infamous Tommy Donlan.
Hello, and welcome to Fish Hunt Northwest. Dwayne England, Tommy Donlan. Coming to you from the Fish Hunt Northwest studio. Located here at Summit Lake. I dare say for a while.
Yeah, just for a few more weeks.
We'll get there. Hey, I want to welcome everybody to the show tonight. Nice to see you, my friend.
Hey, good back. To see you.
And we're going to talk a little bit about your ocean outing last weekend, of course. Welcome everybody to the show. And hey, if it's your first time joining us here, especially on Root Sports, take some time. Jump on over to our webpage, www.fishhuntnw.com. There you're going to find some great, insightful bits of information, lots of how-to blogs and recipes. Also, coupon codes to take advantage of, Edge Rods, FHN20, and check out. You're going to save 20% on all Edge Rods all the time through FHN if they're not previously attached to another special or reduced pricing. Also, if you're within a couple hours of Woodland area, you need to take some time and check out the Edge Pro Shop and the amount of gear and availability of tackle and rods and things they have in the Edge Pro Shop. You should be checking that out as well. And then also, Phelps Game Calls. Fish Hunt NW10 at checkout, Phelps Game Calls. You can save 10% on all Phelps calls the entire year. So, Tommy, I know you nor I made it out for the shrimp opener.
No, we did not.
Right? And some folks did okay, depending on the area. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks struggled, mostly due to the weather. We had kind of a really crummy weather day. Made it a little problematic. So there was not a big dent put in the quota, so to speak. DFW shellfish managers have determined that there is, in fact, enough quota remains in multiple marine areas to offer additional harvest opportunities on May 30th and then again on June 13th.
That's right. And then Marine Area 7 East is also going to be open. It's open actually today through Saturday. And then we've got a host of, you know, other openers that happened today, right? So, you know, guys up in Area 82, I believe, our friend Jason Takeyoshi was out there.
Oh, did he get out? Nice.
He got his limits. He said that he got three limits and three pots, and he's you know, was lucky because after that, it just shut off.
Oh, it did?
It did. It did, which is kind of surprising. Yeah. But, you know, Discovery Bay was open today for all species of shrimp. You got Marine Area 9, 10, and 11. Open June 13th.
Yes.
This is 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
So it's classic four-hour window,
right.
And we're getting that second day of June 13th.
That's right.
That's our opportunity, which, you know, hey, better than just that one shot we got and we're done.
Right.
At least we get another day, and hopefully the weather's a little better and the guys and gals, you know, you get on top of shrimp. I tell you what, if you're running Raymarine Electronics, you'll see them. Those clouds,
right.
No doubt about it. So at least they gave us another opportunity to get after it. Thank you, WDFW. All right, running down the show, my friend. Tommy Dolan, finally out on the ocean. Got the boat up there in the Nea Bay area and got out for a day and a half or so. Halibut lings and, of course, some bottom fish. How did it go? We'll get a full report with Tommy. Hey, summer steelhead season is upon us. It opened Memorial Day weekend. And coon shrimp is a go-to you must have in your arsenal. How to cure. We're going to revisit the curing process I actually did last year. Still very applicable. I think I did it on June 1st last year. And we're just going to revisit that. A lot of folks have been hitting us up with emails and stuff asking for the coon shrimp recipe. Thought we'd re-spool that one up because it is the A to Z. Then part two of that is going to totally get you ready for your summer steelhead fisheries. And, of course, these are fantastic for your sockeye fisheries as well. Welcoming back to the show, as it's been a while, Tommy, Jaime J-Rod Rodriguez, J-Rod Angling Guide Service now. We were talking some walleye, and Jaime's got it dialed, man. Columbia River, and he is coming forth with all the details. And then we're also going to take a second segment with him, Lake Opportunities with Jaime, and why you will want to book a trip with him on some of these lake fisheries, because they are very productive, definitely with this guy. Then, believe it or not, we are going to, towards the end of the show here, jumping back into the bait lab. Curing the shrimp is the first half of the battle. How to rig them for success. We're going to get you completely dialed and show you some techniques and methods on how to rig and how to fish them to find summer run success. And then, of course, we'll be closing out the show. So lots of fish talk tonight. We're jumping from the ocean to the...
That's right, to walleye.
To walleye.
And I love walleye. I'm excited for that conversation.
Yeah. You know, and Jaime has been doing it for quite some time. That kid is dialed, and now he's offering trips for folks. And we talked about before the show. What a great family opportunity, right? Get the kids out on some walleye fishing.
Yep.
And they're not, we don't keep the monsters, right? We want to release the big females, but you get a nice limit of 5 to 7 fish per angler on the boat. You're taking home a lot of
fish. That's right. You got some meat there.
And that is a fantastic fish fry. Okay. Don't go anywhere. Jumping out for a quick break. We come back. Going to get a full on Nea Bay report with Tommy Dolan right here. Fish on Northwest.
Defiance Marine is the one-stop shop for the Pacific Northwest angler. Defiance Marine guarantees the best price on a new and best service on a repower for your current boat. Defiance Marine is a Honda Premier dealership and one of the largest on the West Coast. Defiance Marine is a boat dealer who proudly sells Defiance, Allied, and Arima boats. All boats are built by West Coast fishermen for West Coast fishermen. Defiance Marine has all your boating needs to help you get out on the water.
If you're looking for the best fishing rods in the world, you really do need to take a look at the Edge rods. I designed and built new machinery, and I think this new machinery has enabled us to build blanks like no other company could build without this equipment. There is no other rods in the world that are as good as these rods. You owe it to yourself to take a good look at them.
All right, welcome back here in studio, Dwayne and Tommy Donlin. And we got to talk some ocean fisheries, a little Nea Bay action, some halibut link. But before we do, you know, we had quite a major event happen this last week, Tommy.
We did.
Huh?
Did we?
Oh, absolutely. Our producer.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's true.
Yeah, the beard is officially engaged.
He is engaged.
And his mother.
The beginning of the end.
Yes.
Well, I mean, the beginning of a wonderful future.
The start of the finish.
That's right.
So, congratulations, Jordan, congrats, aka buddy. The beard. So proud of you, so happy for you guys, and we earned a daughter to the family.
That's right. Amen.
So all right, jumping on top of the fishing. So you finally got the boat up to Nea Bay and assembled you know, a crew, some of the regulars, some new folks.
Yep.
Took father son out, didn't you? And that was gonna be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday deal.
Yeah, originally that was the plan.
And then how'd it go?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I gotta say the weather that we are getting offshore this year, you know, off the coast, you know, Westport all the way up to Nea Bay. It is the worst weather that I can remember.
It's a problem,
worst marine weather I can remember forever.
Yeah.
And you know, and so I kind of did a delayed start this year just to kind of avoid that. What is typically, you know, the beginning of May, you expect it, right?
Sure.
The end of May, You don't expect it.
We got spoiled last year.
That's right.
Holy cow.
The good news is the weather patterns that we're seeing right now, we got strong south winds. So if this keeps going, it wouldn't surprise me if those tuna show up, you know, around the 4th of July, first week of July, last week of June.
Dude, look at the optimist. Yeah, there's a good thing coming out.
Always try to be positive.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, the halibut days this last weekend out of Area 3 and 4 was you could fish halibut on Friday and you could fish halibut on Sunday.
Correct.
Saturday was a day off, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so, you know, looking at that weather forecast, I knew going into Friday that it looked like it was going to blow up towards the afternoon, latter part of the day. And so I wanted to kind of, you know, get out there and get it done while the weather was still good.
Yep.
And, you know, overall, we were able to get out there pretty. It was a little sloppy. Yep. I'm not going to lie. And I had a couple new folks, you know, and you get new folks on the boat. And when they tell you, oh, I don't get seasick, but I've also never been on the ocean. You're like, okay, I can see where this is going to go. Right.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, man, Michael Ho and his son, Ty, they didn't take a patch. They didn't take a pill. They didn't get queasy. They didn't get a headache. They did not get seasick.
Nothing.
It's just it. I am jealous of those people that just have no affliction whatsoever.
Oh, 100%.
Just phenomenal.
What an enjoyable day for them.
Yeah. You know, so one of the things when I go out of Nia Bay is I kind of know like when the halibut migrate, when they're going to be in certain spots. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the most prominent spots out of Marine Area 3 or 4 out of La Push or Nia Bay is the southwest corner. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the southwest corner refers to the southwest corner of the sea closure, which you will find in your regulations. Mm-hmm. And those halibut are just not there. And lingcod have infested those waters.
Oh, is that right?
You cannot drop a jig down without getting hammered by a lingcod, right? Mm. Which is not a bad thing, right?
Sure, if you're looking for lingcod. You get your lingcod limit relatively quick, and then you're catch and release and looking for halibut.
Exactly. Right? So we did two drifts. We had all of our lingcod.
No kidding.
Yep. And we had three halibut.
And why do you think the halibut aren't pushed in there?
You know, it's hard to say. Either they're just not there yet.
Yeah.
Or they're not competing with the lingcod and they're in some other locations.
Maybe they've gone elsewhere. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I could kind of see the writing on the wall, you know, after fishing there a little bit. And if the bite's on, right, if the lingcod are biting, typically if there's halibut in the area, they're going to be biting too.
Sure,
it's not like one species bites and the other doesn't, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I could tell that I was going to have to move around a little bit, but, you know, keeping in mind of the clock, I wasn't going to have time to move around. And so I did one more drift at the southwest corner, no more halibut, and then moved kind of, you know, inshore to a couple other spots. Mm-hmm. And, we found kind of the mother load of halibut.
Oh,
right.
Nice.
And so kind of.
Did you have very many people join you in that particular little area? Or?
The area that I was in, there was nobody else.
Oh, well.
But, you know, there's some other spots that are fishing really well right now. The middle sea, the middle of the sea closure is fishing well. Swiftshire Bank is also fishing well for halibut right now. Nothing really of any, you know, size to speak of yet.
Sure, yeah.
But there's still just a ton of fish there.
Do you think the reluctancy of some folks to move, like, they're like, here. We just, they're going to start biting. Like they're catching lingcod, but they really have it in their head. The halibut are here. They're going to, just got to start biting. And then they end up a day, maybe one halibut on board and tons of lingcod caught and released. And then they go get their rockfish. But
yeah,
you know, versus you are like, fish that are here are biting. And so that tells me the halibut aren't here. So we're moving.
That's right.
And I've been with you numerous times. You're like, pick them up. We're moving.
Yeah.
And we do. And we drop and it's all of a sudden, hey, we're in the halibut.
Yeah. Right?
Because of your willingness to like make that change.
That's right. You have to be willing to cover water and cover spots.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, traditionally speaking, people that are out there, I would say the average angler that's going for halibut, they know that area, that southwest corner, traditionally
should produce
yep. has always produced
yep.
and it's always been like a gimme, right? And it's the easy button. You hit it, halibut show up, you get your halibut, you go in, and it's done. Those days are over. For the past 3 years, the southwest corner has not produced like it used to produce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think people get gridlocked, like hoping and wishing that something's going to change, but it never comes, right?
We have a pretty lucrative quota once again, because let's face it, the last couple of years, even though on some days in some of our outings, the halibut fishing has been great, but we haven't got close to our quota for the last couple of years in certain areas. This Nia Bay quota and the number of days, 4 days per week. And on your punch card this year, you're going to see you can keep six halibut.
Six.
Right.
Yeah.
That's quite a bump. That tells me that their surveys are telling them there's a bounty of halibut to be had.
That's right.
There's an abundance of quota that people need to get after. And, you know, hopefully as we get into June here, we hit these nice weather windows and folks can maximize their 3 and 4 days a week. And maybe, you know, you had said that didn't seem to be a lot of pressure out of Nia Bay. It was almost like a ghost town.
CQ and Nia Bay were ghost towns.
Which is interesting.
Part of that could be the weather, but it was Memorial Day weekend. So right. I really expected more pressure than that.
I think we'll see more people as we get later into June. And they'll be able to maximize 3 and 4 days a week. And
that's right.
Probably, I think we'll be surprised with the amount of folks that do show up. And I'll be very curious if we can scratch the quota this year.
We didn't last year, right? No. I mean, I will say the halibut fishing has been tougher the past couple of years. It's been really tough out of Westport too. Probably more so than Nia Bay. The boats down there are really scratching and working hard. They're not throwing any fish back, right? To find bigger halibut. Keeping them all.
Good point.
And so I think that's kind of, to some degree, has turned people off a little bit to halibut fishing. But I love it because that's what makes the quota go longer. Right?
So. Yes, it does. All right, we are up against a break. Hey, don't go anywhere. Jumping out for a quick break. We come back. We're going to be in the bait lab. And bring in what you are asking for. We're Kieran Coon Shrimp, getting you ready for summer steelhead and, of course, sockeye, which is not too far down the road. Kieran Coon Shrimp in the Bay Lab after this break right here, Fish on Northwest.
Allied, the new leader in heavy...
Sportco, an outdoor emporium, is the largest local outfitter in the Northwest since 1975, providing thousands of people affordable outdoor gear. This summer, make your next outdoor adventure more affordable by shopping at our warehouse-style pricing. We are a local Scotty dealer, offering sales, service, and repair. Located in Fife and Seattle, come visit us today. The outdoors awaits you.
Hey, welcome back to Fish on Northwest. We are here in the Bait Lab. Bait Lab presentation is brought to you by Sportco or OE. Check out everything you see here, including the coon shrimp at Sportco or OE. And if you're out of the area, go ahead and get online and order up. They do ship. All right, talk a little bit about coon shrimp and curing coon shrimp. Yes, we are in summer run steelhead season, so it's applicable. The amount of time it takes once we get done with this process for them to truly be cured and ready to fish is optimally 2 to 3 weeks, prime after 4 weeks. So we'll be well into the summer season. Could have done this, a month ago to really get you ready, but not to worry. Plenty of summer run season still left, and these are definitely going to be ready for sockeye as the sockeye get to the upper stretches of the Columbia. So we're well ahead of schedule in that regard. So one question I often get is, hey, where can I find uncured coon shrimp because I want to cure them for myself? Now, one thing you got to keep in mind is they need to be flash frozen only after they've been blanched, okay? So we're looking for shrimp that have been caught, blanched, boiled, and then frozen. Raised Baits does a pretty nice job. You can get boxes of 2 pounds of shrimp, Raised Baits. These, again, are blanched and frozen in about a 2 pound bag. You can find those Sportco. I have found them at Cabela's. And you know, another good resource here in Washington, whether you're east or west, and they do ship, at least in the past, Columbia Basin Baits tends to have a good amount or variety of different sizes of shrimp, coon shrimp, that make great baits, whether you're doing it for sockeye, steelhead, and or Chinook. So some areas to go or companies to reach out to if you're looking to find coon shrimp. So what does it take to cure them? Well, They've been blanched, boiled, so that is important because that toughens up the meat. It toughens up where the tail and head connect at the carapace. It makes it a much more durable bait. Don't try to take fresh shrimp off the boat that you might get out of Port Townsend or one of the other ports from the fishermen and try to cure them with this recipe. They're going to take on color. They're going to cure somewhat, but they're not going to be very durable in that they won't be tough. The blanching, the boiling of it, really makes a difference in how durable these fish. So this recipe I've been doing for a number of years. A good number of friends, guides, and professionals in the industry use this recipe. They might tweak it a little bit, but the basis behind a lot of it for them is this recipe that I put out there for Potskis years ago for good reason. I have caught pretty much everything swimming on this, to include steelhead, Chinook, coho, chum, absolutely, because it's shrimp, and sockeye. And it works very well all times of the year in different presentations. It's going to get it done. So it's a mixture of salts and sugars, Boraxyl Fire, Potsky's Boraxyl Fire Red. Now, I like to make them dark red. I used to make them in a variety of different colors and different flavors. And I kept records over the years of which ones flat out produced time and time again. I come back to my basic one go-to because it works so well. Dark red, the darker the better, and anisint added to this after all the additional sweeteners, okay? So this is a combination, and this is not a sales pitch. This is purchasing a handful of items from Potsky's that you can cure multiple quart jars of shrimp with. If you price out purchasing cured coon shrimp, you're going to see that they are, it can be extremely expensive or very expensive. So if you want to take the time to do this, yes, there's an investment. Like anything we do in fishing, there's an investment. But this stuff will last over time, and you're going to be able to cure several pounds of shrimp on your own and give that a go. So we start off, it's a combination of egg juice, Boraxyl Fire, some krill powder or liquid krill. We have salts and sugars of different sizes, and it's just a combination, and it's pretty simple. In this container here is a quarter cup of each one of these products. I have refined non-iodized sea salt. I have granular white sugar. I have rock salt, and I also have refined natural sugar in its natural state, which is a larger granule of sugar, okay? So basically, this recipe works in that it begins to cure and or get into the meat of the shrimp early because of the small granulation, and then it also maintains and sustains for a long time. Now, there's a lot of different cures you can utilize out there, different liquids you can put to them, and they'll fish for a week or two. But this cure, I guarantee you, will last in your fridge. I have had shrimp fish absolutely fantastic. They've been in this brine in the fridge, not the freezer, in the fridge for up to 4 years, and they continue to fish and perform very well. So ultimately, I know some guys that will cure this up. They'll use them a year later. They cure all their shrimp a year ahead of time because it works so well the following year. So anyway, there's a number of products that go in here, but it's for the durability of the bait it creates and how long it's going to last in your refrigerator. So I start off with Potsky's Red Egg Nectar. This is nothing more than 100% egg juice is the basis behind this. We all know how well shrimp and egg combination works. The egg and sand shrimp cocktail for Chinook and other applications. Anytime you're mixing eggs and shrimp, it has a great effect on fish.
Support from Northwest Sportsmen make Federal Ammunition the world's leading ammunition manufacturer. Federal uses the industry's finest materials, giving you reliable ammunition that delivers superb accuracy and optimum performance. Northwest hunters rely on Sportco to provide the best selection and prices in the Northwest since 1985. Sportco and Outdoor Emporium in Fife and Seattle. Your journey begins here.
You haven't been here, but you know it. You've heard the sounds, smelt the air, and you've seen where your heart lands, if not yet. You haven't been here, but you've longed for a destination near or far, where time spent with loved ones and friends will go into the night and last in memories for a lifetime. You haven't been here, but you're on your way to a place not far. ExploreTheDalles.com.
This starts off with the nectar, which again is egg juice, okay? So I put one full bottle in, and I'm gonna add just a little bit more that I have in this extra bottle here because I know I'm gonna need it. Then I'm gonna put in all the granulated products. Again, non-iodized sea salt, refined sugar, rock salt, and then natural or, you know, the brown unrefined sugar for larger granule. And then also a quarter cup of your dark red Boraxyl Fire. All these ingredients, the salts and the sugars in the Boraxyl Fire, one quarter cup of each, okay? It seems like a lot, but over time, it is absorbed into the shrimp. And you'll end up with a little bit of product in the bottom of the jar, but not a whole lot, okay? So we're gonna do that. stir this around a little bit just to kind of loosen it up. Now it takes a while for this stuff to break down. The early onset, it gets going, but over time, it really starts breaking down, absorbing into the shrimp, okay? Now that that's in there, we got that nice slurry going, I'm gonna start dropping in these shrimp. Now one thing I did was I slightly thawed out my box of shrimp, opened up the bag, and I separated them into two different sizes. These here are the bigger shrimp that I get out of the packet. They're ideal for summer steelhead. They're the ones I like to use for the summer steelhead. The smaller ones that I get, and there's usually more of the smaller ones in each bag that you get, each 2 pound bag, those are ideal for my sockeye fishery, okay? So I start off by putting a bunch in the jar so I know exactly how many need to go back in, and I don't overstuff it, I don't cram them in there, I don't want to crush them. They're kind of fragile, so you got to take care of them and not overcrush them down into the jar, okay? Now you got a couple options. First, I'm going to add deep red color. I'm going to take some of the Potsky's fire dye, and I know that this is 4 tablespoons in here. I like to put in a couple tablespoons, so you know, half a jar is going to get me the color that I want on these shrimp. The other thing I want to do is I want to put in some krill powder, and typically I go with two tablespoons of the Potsky's krill powder. That simply adds additional krill scent to this, and I make sure I always add that in there as well, okay? Now I have some space left in the jar. I can top that off with the red fire brine. That works just fine as a filler to fill up the rest of that vacant area, or I can top it off with some more of the nectar, okay? And I'm gonna bring that up almost to the top. Want to leave a little space to be able to move it around, stir it up, and make sure that it stirs up real well. The final ingredient here is going to be my anise, okay? And this is going to be a good 10 drops out of the vial, all right? 10 to 15. I like to do almost a full pull on that. So the other option, I think I'd mentioned it, so you can go with the Potsky's krill powder, or you can put one bottle of the liquid the liquid krill in there as well. Either or is gonna get it done. So now that all the ingredients are in here, we're just gonna nice and gently start stirring this around a little bit. Okay, I'm not shaking it violently. And one thing I could have done is I could have put the krill powder in my powder mixture to start with. Kind of forgot to do that, so I added it at the end. No big deal, this will all mix up just fine. But don't violently shake your jar, okay? The shrimp, again, they're kind of fragile. And all you need to do is to mix up the contents in here and get it evenly distributed throughout the jar, okay? Now, and you guys have seen me talk about this before, the first couple weeks, I'm gonna actually store this in the refrigerator on the side because the ingredients like to settle to the bottom. If I stand it straight up and down like this, it tends to kind of get clumped up at the bottom, the stuff that isn't quite breaking down yet. And it's a little tougher to get it off the bottom of the jar and remix than it is if it's, built up simply on the side. If it builds up on the bottom of the side like this, I can just roll it over. It breaks free relatively easily, and we can continue to stir that. I will go out into my bait fridge at least once, sometimes maybe twice a day for the first couple weeks. And if I have 5 or 6 of these quart jars with the shrimp in there, I'm turning them things over, stirring them up, mixing that up, because the faster that stuff breaks down and absorbs into all the shrimp equally, the faster this jar is gonna be ready to fish, okay? The other thing I'm going to put on here the date. Today is 6/1/23. And that has anise in there as my extra ingredient. That's all I put on there. I know the date. I know 4 years from now, believe it or not, I could actually fish these if they stay in my fridge. But again, I'm gonna store them for the first few weeks on the side. And ideally, in about 4 weeks or so, these will definitely be ready to fish. Guarantee you they'll be ready to fish for sockeye season coming up a couple months down the road. All right, that's gonna do it for us here in the Bait Lab. Hopefully you can take that and work with it. Find some success with your own coon shrimp If you do that, cure it up, get out there and fish, catch some fish, post those pictures up on our social media platforms. We'd love to enjoy your success with you through our process of giving you insight. All right, we're going to jump out for a quick break. We come back. We're back in studio right after this.
Hey guys, I'm Big Mike. Come on down to the Edge Pro Shop and see me. We've got all the best brands under one roof. We've got Hawken, Procure, Short Bus, Pro Troll, Yakima Bait, Get 'em Dry Jigs, Northwest Bait Scent, Daiwa Reels, North Fork Lures, North Wild, Brad's, Superfly, Rocky Mountain Tackle, and of course, the greatest rods ever built, Edge Rods.
All right, welcome back here to the program in studio, Dwayne and Tommy Donlin, and welcoming back to the show. It's been a while, Tommy.
That's right.
Since we've had Jaime on. Jaime, J-Rod Rodriguez, J-Rod Angling Guided Fishing. Feels good to say that now. You can find everything Jaime's got going on at J-Rod Angling on Facebook and, of course, Instagram. Jaime, how you doing, buddy? Nice to see you.
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. This is the closest I've been to in studio, so good to be here.
Bit of a drive for you, so we'll take the Zoom interview if we can get it, for sure. So you've been kind of busy lately, man. You're selling boats. You're guiding, targeting walleye in the Columbia. Now, what a great opportunity to get families and kids out and whatnot. What can folks kind of expect? You've been doing the walleye thing for quite a while. Is the population of walleye on the Columbia pretty substantial? And are we looking at a day of lots of hookups, lots of activity?
Yes. It's definitely a family fun fishery. So if you lose a fish, you better believe that we'll get bit again, and we'll be sure to catch that one. Definitely the numbers are great out there right now.
Nice.
That's awesome. One of the other things, Jaime, that you got to absolutely love about walleye fishing is there is just a plethora of different methods that you can use to catch these fish, from, you know, jigging to trolling, and then within trolling, bottom walkers, crankbaits. What's your approach?
I have a couple approaches right now, but my go-to is definitely going to be the famous bottom bouncer setup. Yep.
Awesome.
So you got the bottom bouncer going with a worm harness, and, you know, sometimes on those slow death rigs, what's your preference? Single hook on your night crawlers? You run a double hook when you start getting into those short biters? I know sometimes those walleye like to just nip the tail off.
Yeah, you said it just correctly. It's when I get those light biters and when I'm targeting bigger fish, I really like to have that stinger trailer hook just for that extra security. But if you got really fast and furious biters, it's just going to take a single hook, whether it's a single size 4, 2, or a super slow death hook.
Nice.
Yeah, I love those super slow death hooks.
It works so good.
I've gotten into walleye fishing over the past couple of years.
Nice.
My son over to Lake Roosevelt, kind of over the 4th of July weekend. And, you know, one of the things that I always wonder about, so my method, I kind of cheat a little bit. I call Bobby Loomis up at Max Lure and I say, hey, this is where I'm going walleye fishing. This is what I'm doing. What do I need, right? What do I do, right? And he sends me a bunch of rigs that he tied up with smile blades. But I got to wonder, in that rig with the smile blade, How do you pick the colors? Is that based on water turbidity, or how do you decide that?
So it's funny because I actually talked to Bobby this morning, and exactly what you just said. He starts talking, and we start, you know, throwing ideas for bait colors and stuff off of each other. And it comes down to, and this is, you know, I do it, but Bobby does it as well. He's seen what the fish are eating, and he'll go in and mimic that profile and mimic the colors with stack beads, cha-cha floats, smile blades, all the above. So yeah, it's that's my main focus. And then after that, it's going to be bait profile. It depends on how big the bait fish are at the time. I'll either increase or decrease the size from there.
Yeah, completely makes sense. I mean, it's the old adage, right? Matching the hatch. And I know sometimes get a perch hatch going, and then walleye are feeding on them small perch. We mimic that with size and color of beads and smile blades. Yeah, it works well. Jaime, believe it or not, we're up against a break. We got more Columbia River Fisheries to talk to you about. So don't go anywhere. Jump out for a quick break. We'll be back more with Jaime Rodriguez in J-Rod Fishing after the break right here, Fish on Northwest.
I make my living catching fish, not only as a tournament angler, but as a guide as well. Catching fish is important, and Gamagatsu hooks for me, you know, they kind of help take the luck out of fishing a little bit just because they're a high quality hook. Obviously have a really good reputation for being very strong and very sharp. Gamagatsu, I use their products every day in the boat and, you know, big part of my success.
New days, new beginnings, new friends, new loves, new dreams, new goals, new scenery, new job. No matter what the next chapter holds, Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate will be there to help you find the new that's right for your lifestyle at any stage of your life. Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate. Expect better.
All right, welcome back here in the studio. Dwayne England, Tommy Dolan, our guests, J-Rod, Jaime Rodriguez, and J-Rod Angling. Jaime, so real quick, you're on the Columbia, and let's face it, there's a lot of dams on the Columbia. They mess with the water flows quite often, releasing water, holding back water. So that equates to water movement up and down. How does that affect or compound your fisheries?
It actually, when we have flow, it actually helps predict the fish a little bit better. Because we're going to find those walleyes hanging off the current break.
Yeah.
Sometimes when the flows drop off, they tend to scatter, and looking for fish, you're pretty much on the hunt. But yeah, current breaks, current seams seem to hold a lot of walleyes.
You know, when that flow increases, do you find yourself using kind of the same weighted bottom bouncers all the time? Do you vary them? Kind of like, do you run the heavy bottom bouncers up front of the boat, like maybe 3 ounce and then 2.5 and then 2 ounce in the back? Or how do you do it, Jaime?
Yeah. I always like to have a spread. I'll put the heavier ones up front, and the back rods usually are going to go a little bit lighter. But as far as the flows go, if I'm fishing in too heavy current, then I'm going to keep bumping over until I find that break. If I'm fishing a 3 ounce bottom bouncer and not able to get it down, I got to keep trying to bump just to get off and into that current break.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, we always refer to walleye as kind of like the freshwater lingcod in our world, and, you know,
predator fish,
ambush fish, right? So if I'm kind of new to walleye fishing, what am I looking for as far as locating fish? Current seams, you know, breaks in the current, weed edges, rock structure I see on my sonar. Kind of give us an idea of what we should be looking for to find walleye.
Yeah. So like you said, structure, you're going to want to locate. You're going to want to start your hunt around structure. So rock piles, weed beds, weed lines, current breaks. If you see any kind of structure on your graph, go towards it, whether it be a sunken island or a peninsula. Target your efforts there first. And then who knows, when you get there, you might find like an active rock pile. And they'll be either depending on time of year, they'll be either on top of it or on either side of it. So just if you run into a rock pile, cover that thing its entirety. If they don't go on the bottom bouncer, throw a crankbait, troll a crankbait, or throw a plastic, especially if you're marking them. But they do relate a lot to structure.
Yeah.
Interesting. Talk to us a little bit about troll speed, Jaime, like running bottom bouncers versus maybe your crankbait. Are you running the same speed roughly? Do you ever vary that speed, or what's your approach there?
For me on the river, I pretty much keep it the same, whether I'm doing bottom bouncers or crankbaits. Now that's just dependent on water temperature. So the cooler water, I'm going to go a little slower. The warmer water, I'm going to speed up my boat speeds. But I'll generally keep them about the same.
And what is fast for walleye?
For me, fast for walleye is fast or way fast.
Well, what's the range? Are you like 0.8 to 1.2 miles per hour, or?
0.9 to 2.1 on my boat.
Oh, you 2.1. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And usually it won't be going any faster than that.
All right.
Gotcha. Well, hey, we know you cover some lake fisheries as well, and you're moving back and forth. You got the lake opportunity, the Columbia River opportunity. But before we run out of time here, real quickly, I want you to tell us about the upcoming Walleye Willie Shootout annual event and the importance of that, if you would.
Yes, it's to honor Ross and Walleye Willie and Sheila Ross on the Columbia, June 8th and 9th. biggest walleye, biggest bass, youth, all walk away with prizes. It's a $40 event, really non-committal, fun event just to get out there and honor such a great couple.
Yeah. Now, is this this is the first year it's a two-day event now? You said 8th and 9th?
Correct. Yeah. Last 2 years, this is the third annual. Last 2 years, they did one day and they moved it to 2 days to give anglers more of an opportunity.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right, Jaime, before we go, what's the easiest way for folks to contact you and book a trip and get out on some of this awesome walleye opportunity?
Social media, J-Rod Angling. Website's under construction. And then you could also call me at 509-830-4838.
Gotcha. We'll steer folks towards your social media platforms and help you put some families in your boat and get out there and get some walleye because you're doing a fantastic job. And real happy for your success, my friend.
Thank you. Likewise.
Yep. Great having you on. All right. Look him up. Jaime Rodriguez, J-Rod Angling, Facebook and Instagram. He's going to treat you to a fantastic day and get you on the walleye. Jump it out for a quick break. We come back. Tommy, we're back in the bait lab. We cured him. Now we got to show you how to rig him for success. We'll do that after this break right here. Fish on Northwest.
Support from Northwest Sportsmen make Federal Ammunition the world's leading ammunition manufacturer. Federal uses the industry's finest materials, giving you reliable ammunition that delivers superb accuracy and optimum performance. Northwest hunters rely on Sportco to provide the best selection and prices in the Northwest since 1985. Sportco and Outdoor Emporium in Fife and Seattle. Your journey begins here.
All right, welcome back to the Bait Lab. Yep, we are back in the Bait Lab for the final installment here. Look, we've cured up our shrimp. I've taken you guys through that, but you know, you can only go so far if you don't know how to rig them for success. Real quickly, once again, reminding you that Bait Lab presentation is brought to you by Sportco and Outdoor Emporium. Pretty much everything you see here on the table, you can find at the store as you walk in or online. So, getting to how I really like to present my coon shrimp, especially for summer on steelhead, man. Low clear water. This is such an efficient and effective technique on how to put your shrimp in front of biting fish. So I got a lot of stuff here on the table, but first we want to start with the rod. If you guys have been following me for a while, you know that I am all about utilizing, believe it or not, my kokanee rods for my plug rods now for summer on steelhead. This is an HSR 7111. It's a 7'11" 6 to 15 pound. Works fantastic in the downrigger for kokanee and sockeye and all those things. You're going to love this rod for what it's designed to do. It also works really, really well in an environment much as much like summer on steelhead, either running small plugs, which at times we really minimize and get down to small plug presentation, and the activity on the tip of these rods really lets you know exactly what that plug's doing. They also work really well when we are running bait divers and putting our bait or our coon shrimp, sand shrimp, what have you, out in front of the diver. The rod is going to telegraph and let you know exactly what's going on. It's very efficient. In all those applications, I suggest you check them out by Edge Rod. So looking at everything I have here on the table and how do we rig? How do we run these bait divers and the coon shrimp in different, you know, water clarities, water depths, big rivers, small rivers, you know, maybe it's big like the Cowlitz and we're narrowing it down into some buckets and some holes. Maybe it's a smaller tributary rivers that are low and extremely clear, especially by the time we get into July and August when we really like to start going after those summer run fish. So let's take a look at the table here. I got a lot of things laying here. And first you're going to see that I exclusively run my Brad's divers when I'm running coon shrimp or bait for my steelhead. The mediums work so well. You can go with the magnums if you're in a bigger river. They're going to get down considerably deeper, upwards of 15 to 18 feet in some applications. But the mediums are going to do just fine in your smaller rivers, 6 to 10 foot of depth all day long. And the metallics work great in clear water, even with full sun. Sometimes I'll put the metallics on for extra attractability, but if we're in a river with a lot of pressure, okay, if we're actually fishing a river that has a little bit more pressure with you know, lots of stuff going through, I'm gonna dumb it down and I'm gonna stick really to the clear with the black bill or the black. Just natural colors, black in nature is just so productive. More times than not, I'm probably running the black diver. Now, what am I or how am I fixing that? So here on my top shot off of my line, I'm simply running a swivel to the connection point, pull point on your diver. And then underneath your diver, you're putting a small dual lock. It's just that simple. I put a small dual lock on the belly because I'm tying these leaders, all right? These are literally, these are the Brad's B chains, and it's very important to have those on your leaders as well. But I'm literally tying these are, you know, 5 and a half foot leader off of your diver. Okay, that's important. And why do I go with the B chain right at the front of this guy where it hooks on? Because sometimes when this is running, depending on how it positions itself in the water column, the bill on this thing can get pretty gnarled up or sharp. And if that's your line coming directly off of that belly of that plug, you potentially could cut that line. So we run a B chain on there for protection, run that down to a dual hook setup. Now this year I am running the Gamagatsu Barbless hook. I really like the size and width of the gap on these hooks. I'm running a number 2 as my stinger and a number 1 as my main hook that goes through the bait. Now I like to run them naked like this, and I'll show you how to rig that in a second. Previously, I've had great success. Purple Haze Smile Blade from Max Lure works really well. And yes, the straw, we'll talk about that, but red straw, clear straw, doesn't matter. Spin and Glow for extra buoyancy, a small 14 miller bead on there for buoyancy. But running them naked like this works extremely well also. Now, they're really simple to hook up. We just simply look at the shrimp with our main hook here. We're going to go through the main body into the carapace and circle that around, push it down like that. That stinger hook comes right out at the tip. See where that lies? That is right out there to grab those fish when they bite. Now, I use this straw because, pull that up, I'm gonna put a single half hitch on here, just like that. We're gonna straighten this tail out. I'm gonna bring this straw down. Some of you guys have seen me do this before. We're just going to twist this straw on here. And there you go. Don't need to multi-wrap that 3 times with half hitches. I simply put that straw on. It's going to straighten your bait out and make it run true exactly how we want to see it run. So utilize that straw to straighten that out. I just popped that off here. We'll pop that right back on and show you. You twist it on there, push it down, and it really straightens the bait out real nice. Now, you can run them, I call it naked, just like this. And they work really, really well. The other thing I can do now also, if I haven't pre-rigged with any flotation behind it like this, I can use this pin in the mercurial beads. This is a 12 mil. And the nice thing about these beads, if I want to add it on later, you know, I can tie these leaders to fish without any type of pre-tied buoyancy on there. And then if I want to, I can simply add a bead on here later. I'm going to twist that on, push it down. That's going to hold that shrimp and that straw down in position. It's added a little extra color, and it's added that buoyancy right to the back side of that. So that is an option. Any of these will work. Extra attractability, if you're looking for buoyancy and some color. The mercurial beads by Robolize is a great option because you can simply spin those onto your leader after the fact, and they're going to work fantastic, adding additional buoyancy and color. Remember, 5.5 foot leader off of your diver, use a B-chain swivel to protect your leader. Dual hook in a mooching rig tie setup, about 1 finger width in between your number 2 and your size 1, and pin those coon shrimp on there and get after it. Put them out about 40, 45 feet out in front of the drift boat or the sled. You're going to have a good day. All right, jumping out for a quick break. When we come back, we'll be in studio to close it out.
If you're looking for the best fishing rods in the world, you really do need to take a look at the Edge rods. I designed and built new machinery, and I think this new machinery has enabled us to build blanks like no other company can build without this equipment. There is no other rods in the world that are as good as these rods. You owe it to yourself to take a good look at them.
All right, welcome back here in studio. So there you go. That's the A to Z, the nuts and bolts, so to speak, of how to cure them and how to rig them.
All right, I want to see how they fish now.
They're going to fish fantastic. The ones I was actually rigging there tonight are the ones I cured last year. So what we showed early on, those shrimp have been in the fridge for a year. Because yeah. I have, you know, inventory I've built up. Mm-hmm. It's like I like to cure them a year in advance. People look at me like I'm crazy. But they fish best if they're a couple of years old. Sammy Baird used to cure all his coon shrimp.
Really?
Predominantly with my recipe. And then he started changing out with his salmon slam and stuff. But Sammy would cure all his coon shrimp. We're talking, gosh, he would do like 80 quarts a year ahead of time.
Wow.
And let them sit in the fridge for an entire year so they're ready for his sockeye season, because he'd go through so many.
Yeah.
That was his go-to. He told me that years ago, and he stuck to it. I mean, that's what he does. And a lot of those guys over there, they fish a lot of coon shrimp. And so, yeah, they're applicable for right now for summer steelhead. That process, really, to set them up, get them ready to go, it takes about a month to where I really like the texture of them. They got good color. They don't bleach out or bleed out too soon. And they're durable. They're tough. And they have great scent. And, boy, they work. They work fantastic.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, something to look forward to. Going to get out this weekend, weather permitting. Speaking of which, weather window for Nia Bay this weekend?
Yeah, it's we're not going to get out on Sunday. Yeah. At least not get offshore for sure. And even the Western Strait looks a little nautical. So,
well, and Jordan and I were supposed to go out with a buddy and get some content on some, you know, deep water lingcod and bottom fish, excuse me, on Monday. And that is when I pulled up, it says 8 to 9 feet at 8 seconds. So I'm like, should we do this?
That's right.
You're like, go for it. Let me know how it goes.
Take lots of video. Yes.
I told you it would literally pop the patch right off my ear. It'd be done. So Sunday is probably not a no, or Monday is not a no-go in the ocean, but Herzog's coming over. We are going to hit some summer on steelhead on Sunday. Jordan's going to join us. We may end up, in fact, getting out on Monday as well, depending. I'm looking at the weather, not just some rain coming, but the wind is more of the deal.
Right.
And you said, well, it's steelhead fishing.
So why does it matter on the river?
Yeah, well, when gusts of 25 and 30, it's just it's just not that fun. I told you, we did that all winter long. Man, I fished so much just horrible weather this year. Now, when you start your sentence with summer on steelhead, I don't want to fit, you know, I don't want to be out there.
You
25.
Don't want to feel like winter or spring.
No, man, I don't have to bundle up wearing gloves or whatever else. It's just crazy. So there is going to be some great opportunity this weekend. Lots to get after. Oh, we didn't even mention it. Columbia River opening back up for spring Chinook, Tommy, June 1st through the 15th. And then you got an additional 3 or 4 days there for Summer Kings clipped fish as well, hatchery select. So got some great opportunity coming up with Columbia River to continue with our spring Chinook opportunity, summer steelhead, and of course, ocean fisheries when we can get out. So please do so. Take advantage of that. Get out and get something done this weekend. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. We will see you next time right here, Fish on Northwest. Hey, thanks for joining us here on the Fish on Northwest weekly podcast. I want to remind everyone that you can catch our weekly live stream show on our Facebook page and, of course, our YouTube channel every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. West Coast time. You'll get our insightful in-studio interviews, our extremely detailed how-to segments in the bait lab, the infield segments we bring to you when we're on the water or in the woods, and, of course, our amazing cooking recipes in the kitchen with co-host Sherry England and chef Jeff Maxfield. Give us a follow on our Facebook page at Fish Hunt Northwest. Also subscribe to our YouTube channel at Fish Hunt NW. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. And finally, go to our webpage at www.fishhuntnw.com for all the latest and greatest info. Join us each week here on our podcast. Join us each week at our live production. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you soon.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.